Amen. They will never lose its power. In 1 Corinthians, in the 11th chapter, in the 23rd verse, Paul was dealing with things that were going on in the church of Corinth concerning sex that people have groups and different things that were going on in the book of, in the church of Corinth, because folks did not understand what communion was all about. And I'm sure today we still don't have a clear-cut understanding of what communion is all about. Communion isn't about power. It's not about authority. It's not about dominion. Communion is about the body. It's about a body of believers that comes to an understanding of who they are and where they are in the ministry and where they are in the body. And because they understand where they are in the body, they carry themselves as such in nature and in character. Not in ideology or selfishness, but in fellowship. That's what communion represents. It represents fellowship. And I like it because in the 23rd verse, the man of God says, "For I received." The word "have" that you have in your Bible is actually not there. It was supplied in there by King James scholars. If you ever read the original writings, it does not exist, because the word "have" changes the whole aspect of what the scripture is saying. If you would read "for," he said, "for I have received," that means past tense. But he said, "for I have received," I received right now, which makes it a present day principle or concept. So these words have great meaning, and it's important that we study them. He said, "for I received." The word "receive" means to have learned or assumed an office. Paul is saying, "I've taken this office as an apostle, and at this specific time in my life, I received," or "I've learned." What "I've learned" is what communion actually represents. He's telling them in 1 Corinthians, "I'm going to teach you this. Just as the Lord taught me, I'm going to teach you." This was revelation knowledge that God dropped into his spirit or applied in his spirit. First, you must understand what revelation knowledge is. Revelation knowledge is knowledge that God reveals in your spirit concerning knowledge that you already know.
Come on, man.
If you don't study your Bible or read your Bible, it is impossible for you to ever receive revelation knowledge. Because God reveals himself through himself.
Amen.
God interprets his word with his word. He don't need us to interpret his word. He needs us to proclaim his word and to speak his word. Paul said, "For I received, I learned of the Lord that which also I delivered." It's important that we deliver or surrender and trust. Paul said, "I committed this word to you." And see, the reason he's saying this is because he had already taught them this. This was something they had already been taught. But they went back and they backstepped, or they turned back to their old ways, because it was easier to live by their own ideas. It was easier to live by their own concepts and their own precepts instead of living by this word. Because this word meant they had to love people that they didn't want to love. They had to care about people they didn't want to care about. They had to pray for people that they didn't feel like praying for. Meant that they have to submit themselves to the word of God and not just to themselves.
Yeah. Come on. Amen.
The church in a whole is one of the most selfish organisms that God ever created.
Amen.
Because it's all about us.
Amen.
Our ministry, our anointing, our call, and it's not. And that's what Paul is telling the Corinthians. It's not about you.
Yes.
It's about all of us. This is what Jesus told me. This is why I had to go ahead and put up with Peter and John and Luke.
Right.
I had to deal with them anyway, even though they weren't where I was.
Come on now.
They might have fellowshiped with him in Jerusalem, but he came to get me on the road to Damascus. And the difference between what he did for them and what he did for me, he came to get me. I had after his resurrection.
Yeah.
So I saw him when he was already at the right hand of the Father. But in spite of the knowledge that I had, God was telling me that I had to bow down.
Yeah.
I had to submit myself to the Word of God. So that meant I had to deal with Peter and John. Even though they were trying to kill me after I first got saved. There are folks trying to kill you because you give your heart and life to God. And God is saying you got to submit yourself anyway. He said, What I received, I gave it to you. I surrendered it unto you, or I placed it within you. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. It's kind of funny because it says betrayed. It means surrender. He already knew.
Yeah.
He knew what was happening. He said, one among us. Is, he already knew. But he did what? He surrendered himself. And when he broke the bread, who was the, most folks don't know this, the first person he gave it to was the one that was going to betray him. He had actually already betrayed him because he'd already done it in his mindset. He hadn't turned him over yet, but he had already betrayed him. Jesus and Paul said, the same thing that he did, we have got to do. And I delivered this to you. I surrendered this to you. I gave you this. I said, the same night in which he was betrayed or he surrendered, he took. Or the word took means to become a part of, to touch, to become intimate with. He became intimate with the bread that he took because he knew that it represented who he was.
Yeah.
And he knew that they were about to, he was about to be broken in his body. Because what? Because the Spirit of God showed him? No, because the Word of God had already said it. In the Old Testament, already talked about how they would break his legs. He knew what they could do to him and what they couldn't do to him. So he surrendered himself, and Paul was saying, this is what we must do. You are missing the whole concept of what communion is. You have to understand that he surrendered himself and he became a part of the very bread that he was breaking. You have to become a part of the word that you teach. Not easy. You know what I'm saying? Somebody got to do it. No, God said, you got to do it. Not somebody. You. The same night, there's going to be a lot of dark nights in your life. But God don't want you to be intimate with him. And not your circumstance. You're going to have to take the bread, which you are now, because you have the bread of life on the inside of you. And whatever he is, you are. So if you are that bread of life, then you're going to have to be broken.
My God, come on,
man. Folks going to break you all the time. They're going to break your spirit. They're going to break your flesh if they get a chance. They're going to break your mindset. They're going to come against the ideas that you have for the kingdom of God. They're going to come against the principles that you've been living by. You are going to be broken. But you don't have to die. Paul said, you Corinthians, you are so funny. He said, he gave thanks. He break it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is for you. Take, eat. This is my body, which is for you. The revelation or the revealed knowledge of the whole thing is that you already take it. You've eaten it already. The moment you ask him into your life, you've eaten. You have eaten of that bread. You've taken of that life. And Paul said, which is for you, this do in remembrance of me. It's kind of funny, you know, we have memorials for folks that are going to be with the Lord, but you ought to become a living memorial. You ought to become a memorial for the bread of life that's living in you. When folks look at you, you ought to be a memorial. What a memorial do they remind you, people, of who was and who is? You ought to be a living, breathing memorial. That's like in Romans, he says, present yourself as living sacrifices. That makes you a memorial. A memorial of me. After the same manner, also the cup. Your Bible reads also take the cup. It reads also the cup because it wants you to understand that the cup and the bread go hand in hand.
Amen. Amen.
You can't separate the bread from the cup.
Amen.
Right. Most folks do because they have a hidden agenda or something they'd like to do, so they'll separate the bread from the cup, or they'll separate the word from the spirit. And you say, well, why would you separate the word from the spirit? Because you can change the word to meet your own need. You can't change the spirit.
Amen.
How you know that? Because I tried it. That's how I know that. I tried it. And it didn't work for me either. It says, when he had supped, saying, or he commanded, see, this is a commandment. That was the revealed knowledge that Paul was receiving in his spirit, but that it wasn't just a spoken word or a logos, but it was a rhema because it was commanded from the throne of God.
Yeah.
Because what Jesus was speaking was what the Father had put in him.
Yeah.
It was a commandment.
Amen.
God ain't asking us.
Come on.
He's not trying to provoke us. We need to change this cord, guys. Test. Got one. Anything. Amen. He thought it was a commandment. He said, this cup, remember, you break the bread and you are the cup. You're the word of the living God and you're the anointing of God. So he said what? He said you have to. Don't wait on nobody to tell you. Don't wait on anybody to provoke you. You have to understand that this cup, there's a whole lot of stuff can go in a cup. Hot stuff, cold stuff, nasty stuff, good tasting stuff. You can put almost anything in the cup. That's the cup you didn't accept it. That it comes along with almost anything. But if you understand who you are and what God has called you to be, whatever in the cup, you'll use it for the glory of God.
Come on now,
man.
Come on now.
Yeah.
You are the new. I like the word new because what it does, it moves you out of the old into the.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Amen.
You are the new. What does it say? Testament. How many see that?
Yeah.
You are the new testament. How many can hear me? You are the new testament. This cup is the new testament in my blood. I'm bringing to you a new contract.
Yes.
And a new reality.
Yes.
Old things have to be passed away because all things have become
new.
You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. You have to be the new creature. You have to dare to be different. You gonna talk to you? Well, I'm not gonna. I talk to me all the time.
Come on.
Yeah.
Go there.
Amen.
Yes.
Bro, you don't have to put up with that.
Yes.
You don't owe them nothing. Tell them to kiss your foot. And all the time, something on the inside of me said, yes, you do. You know you're wrong. You made a contract with me.
Come on now.
You signed a new contract.
Come on now.
Yeah, yeah.
When you let my blood flow through your veins, you signed a new contract. You signed a contract that said you're not going to be like everybody else. You're going to separate yourself from things that don't acknowledge and glorify God. And if you got to separate yourself from yourself,
come on, Pastor.
You know, if you break a contract, they sue you.
Yes.
That's true. That's true.
You don't want to get sued, do you? Can't nobody sue you like God. Don't nobody sue you like God, because you know what he do? He'll just let you move into your own devices. Ain't nothing worse than you moving into your own devices. And living by your own concepts. That's why we got all these different ministries floating around saying, we are God.
Amen.
Paul was saying, you are the New Testament that Christ is in your blood. He said, this do as often as you drink it. And every time you remember the contract that you signed, do it.
Yes. Come on now.
Be doers of the word or not, hearers only. You signed a contract. This is what God always, he said, bro, you signed a contract.
Amen.
Yes, yes.
And he said, you didn't sign it in ink. You signed it with your blood.
Yes.
You know, there are still ministries that practice, if we don't be brothers, they cut themselves and put their hands together.
No.
Don't let nobody do it to you. You remind them, Jesus already shed his blood. I don't have to do it.
Yeah.
Paul said, you Corinthians running around here doing all this crazy stuff. You with him and you with her and she with him and all y'all think y'all serving God. Every time you drink, and you gonna drink some stuff. But when you drink it, when you're going through hell, remember.
Yeah.
When trouble is all around you and upon you, remember. Remember who you are and what you've been called to. And as you remember this, then you begin to what? Bind up yourself. Take authority over yourself.
Yeah.
So that you can do what God has called you to do. He said, do it in remembrance of me. This is what God was showing him. This is what God showed him. But see, what God, the way God showed it to him was using the word that was already in his life.
Yeah.
Got news for you. If you don't have the word in you, you're not going to have no life.
Come on. All right. All right. Come on.
Preach.
Right.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it's going to get worse. And only what you do for God is going to matter. Not what you have done already.
Yeah.
Because that's been already passed away.
Come on now.
It's what you do now in the present tense that's going to make a difference. Paul was telling me, now you know they weren't happy with him. Because they had already made up their mind what communion represented. As often you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show or you proclaim. When you remember what you gave your heart and life for, when you remember what you've been chosen to, when you remember all these things, when you remember what Jesus died for and why he came, rose again. When you remind yourself and you remember by looking in the mirror and seeing that you're a memorial of what he represents and what he stands for. When you remember, you proclaim it. How do you proclaim? By love and hate.
Come on now.
By encouragement and discouragement. By lifting up the broken. That's proclamation. That's how you proclaim. You don't proclaim with your words. You proclaim with your life. With your conversation, which is your walk.
Yes.
Don't you know what you hide, the way you carry yourself, speak louder than what you have to say? There you go. Action speaks louder than words. Thank you. You do show the Lord's death. Some of y'all are going to miss this one. Or his resurrection. You proclaim the Lord's resurrection when you realize the contract that you signed with him. And you put yourself and brought yourself under subjection so that you can do what the Word of God is telling you to do.
Amen.
And it's hard doing what the Word of God tells you to do because it raises you up to another standard other than the one you already in.
Amen. Amen.
How many ready to move to another level?
Amen.
It's up to you. Wherefore, but you see, you got folks eating the bread and of the cup, and they doing it unworthily.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Preach.
You brag about how much you love God and how great your God is, but you don't practice love.
Come on.
You don't practice peace. You don't practice joy. You don't practice long suffering.
Come on.
You don't stand in faith. But you walk in criticism. You may not criticize with your mouth, but you can criticize with your spirit.
Right. Amen.
Right.
Amen.
It says, shall be guilty, or the word guilty is translated in the Greek, liable.
Hello.
How many know you are held liable if you don't pay the check? If you don't pay the bill, they're going to hold you liable for it.
Yes.
I'm not trying to be liable for nothing that don't bless God. Been there, already done that. The payback is horrible, Sister Denise. Kept thinking I was getting away with something, Pastor. Well, when I get to heaven, I deal with it then. God said, oh, you're going to deal with it now.
Amen.
You did it now.
Amen.
So why don't you deal with it now?
Amen.
Right. This is what he was talking about. This is what he was telling them. This is what he was trying to get them right, get them straight. Because a lot of them were about to become martyrs and didn't know they were about to be martyrs. Had a conversation with a man who's at his church. He's studying for the eldership. And he asked me a question. And he says, when Jesus was on the cross and he said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. He says, do you think that they gave their heart and lives to God then or later? Were they saved then or later? I said, they weren't saved then because they couldn't say saved based on his words.
Right.
He would just say, Father, overlook them for their ignorance.
Right. Right.
And when they do come to you, give them a chance to enter in. Don't hold them bound and based on what they're doing now.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
That's the bread. That's what the bread does. It supplies strength. So, but you know what? All we got to do is read it. It tells you what it is. It interprets itself. Shall be guilty or liable of the body and blood of the Lord. He's going to hold you liable. Because he came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And if you abuse in the abundance of life, then you will be held liable. I don't want to be guilty, held liable of the Lord's body and his blood. But then Paul goes on to say, he said, I got a way you can get out of this. He said, I'm going to tell you how to get out. This is a part of the revelation that God has just revealed to me. I'm going to tell you how you can protect yourself and get by all this. But let a man examine himself. He said, I'm letting you know how you can get out of it. Examine yourself. Check yourself out. Test yourself. Try yourself. You know, somebody, they got them bumper stickers with Jesus, do something, or, you know, and folks that want to take advantage of you, when they messing with you, they'll tell you, well, what would Jesus do? They expect you to say, take it. I said, I'll walk away. I'll disappear in your sight. I will become invisible. That's what Jesus did. How did he become invisible? Because he didn't allow their concepts or their mindsets to infiltrate what he already knew to be true. You cannot. You can no longer do it. It's time to grow. But you've got to examine. He says, let a man. The reason he put the word man there, because it's the word anthropos. It talks about that man which is in the beginning. You have to check yourself. You have to try your ways. You have to try your disposition. You have to try your attitude. You have to try your walk. If you're constantly checking yourself out and examining yourself, you don't leave room for others to examine you. Not anybody that's important anyway.
Come on, God.
Somebody will always want to examine you. Let a man examine himself. Check yourself out. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. The revealed knowledge of the whole thing is Paul is next to talking about bread and about the cup that we take. But he's talking about the character and the nature of Christ. When you drink something, it becomes a part of who you are. Because it infiltrates all your entire being. When you drink of the cup that Jesus bore, you have to examine yourself. And folks are not examining themselves. Because we're too busy to examine everybody else.
Amen.
See, I can look at them because they're not going to think I'm talking to them. You don't have to worry about it because I can't see you anyway. I have to get up close. I thought, well, Lord, I'm ready to drink that cup. I'm ready to eat that bread. He said, good, it took you long enough. And it is like the rivers parted and I fell in the mud. There was no dry land. I'm like, where's the dry land? You parted the rivers from Moses, they went across on dry land. There's nothing. none of them right. Told you he used his word to interpret. He said, yeah, but I rolled the waters back for Joshua, and they let the word go before them. All them weren't right either, but they had the mindset to let the word go first. Instead of them going and dragging the word along.
My God.
That's what happens when you don't examine yourself. When you don't check yourself out. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily. Basically because you have not weighed the value of your salvation. Folks haven't weighed the value of their salvation. It's not valuable to them. Because we understand that the word says God will forgive us 70 times 7. So salvation's not valuable. But if we look into ourselves and discern in ourselves what needs to be changed, what needs to be transformed, what needs to be done away with. There are times I've looked into myself, Pastor, and I said, you know what? You got to get a right attitude.
Come on.
Your disposition is bad. Your character is starting to smell. When I did that, it didn't matter what anybody else thought, because I already saw what the need was. It's called discernment. If you can't discern yourself first, you'll never have your discern anybody else.
Amen.
You're going to see what you need to see and hear what you want to hear. Paul said, because you folks drinking themselves into damnation. Damnation to himself. Why? Because the word of God says, for the wages of sin is death. Spiritual. And the word sin is translated ancient one or old nature. The payoff, if you allow you to dictate how you serve God, how you treat people, how you love people, how you have compassion and care for people, if you allow you to dictate to you how you do that, then you are damning yourself.
Amen.
A movie that came out years ago when I was a kid, we were all afraid of it. When it first came out, Children of the Damned. Anybody remember that? Y'all, it ain't gonna tell you how old you are. Children of the Damned. They made this big spectacle of it. They had people walking down through the neighborhoods with signs, these kids' faces on it. You know, I'm like, is this for real? I'm a kid, I'm thinking, oh my God. And then when I finally saw it, I realized it was just a movie. It was fiction. Don't get caught up in your fiction.
Amen. Amen.
Don't let it determine your whereabouts in God.
Amen.
But you will if you don't check yourself.
Amen.
My mother used to say, you act like you don't stink. She said, it smells just as bad as that one over there. Because we get so haughty in ourselves. Because we forget to check ourselves and discern what's going on in our lives so that we can make changes.
Yeah.
Paul said, not discerning the Lord's body, because you no longer can see him in you. You think you do.
Amen. Amen.
God is blood.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
In some place in 3 John it is, or some place it is, how can you say you love God God who you have not seen, and love not your brother who you see every day.
Amen.
That's what Paul, this is all he's teaching right here. This is it, in a nutshell. He said, if you don't discern the Lord's body, if you don't realize, if you don't discern that we are members of each other, for a hand is no good without the wrist, and the wrist is no good without the arm. We all work together. The foot is no good without the ankle. We have to learn to work together in corporate anointing. Paul is telling them, all of you Corinthians that we've already taught this word to, have gone all each in your own way. Standing on your own principles and your own ideas, and it ain't going to work. It's not going to work. And because of it, many are weak, strengthless, and sickly in the midst of you. It don't mean physically sick. It means spiritually sick. That's how he used to get upset with me when I used to say this. Then one day he must have been sitting there and saw it for himself and thought it was the greatest thing. He wasn't ashamed to tell you if he realized that it was great. But if he didn't like it at first, you was in trouble. He knew how to make your life miserable. First time I said it, I just studied it, just kind of dropped in my spirit. And I said, oh, I can't say it. Said, you go say it. Said, the church is full of dead people.
Yes.
And they just got through shouting, laying on the floor, jumping all on each other, and God had me get up and say, this church is full of dead people. I could feel him back there. You know how you can feel somebody? He was back there. And I happened to turn around and get a glimpse out of the corner of my eye, and he was looking at me like, oh, I'm going to get you, brother. This is my church. You don't be calling my people dead. But all God was saying was, they was dead in trespasses and sins. You can run around pretending to have ministry all you want. Don't mean a thing if you ain't got that swag. And I don't call it swag. Don't mean nothing. You know what I don't have? I don't have no enemies. Now I got people that don't like me. But I don't have no enemies. Because I cannot like you and you will never know it. Because I know how to bind me up. I had to learn through trial and error and tribulation and circumstance and situation and persecution and affliction. And I know there's a whole lot of other words that go along with that. Paul said, but until people start, the church starts discerning their own flaws and shortcomings, folks are going to be asleep or slumbering. So when I saw this, I changed it from dead folks to sleeping folks. And then he got up one Sunday morning and said, dead folks. I said, ain't he about nothing? And looked at me and gave me that little crooked smile here. Like, what you think now? It's all good. We are sleeping, but we don't know who we are. We've forgotten what we represent. We've been bought with a price.
Yes.
We are no longer our own.
Yes.
That means you can't, you're not supposed to decide who you're going to love.
Come
and
on.
Who you're not.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Come on.
Preach.
If I could have decided what I was going to do in ministry, I'd have been gone. God would be a figment of your imagination. But it wasn't mine to decide.
Come on.
So I put up with it, and I dealt with it. And I learned to attach myself to people that didn't, weren't moved by it or didn't show it.
Come on.
I attached myself to him because he didn't show it. I know it bothered him. I said, I know that bothered him. But he sit there, you wouldn't know it. I said, I want that, Lord, like what Tim said. No, God said, you don't want that. You better get your own. But I figured it's just as bad. Closing. For if we would do what?
Judge.
Say it loud.
Judge.
If we would judge
ourselves.
If we would discern ourselves, we should not be judged or discerned. Most folks don't understand what discernment is. They think discernment means that you can look at somebody and tell what's wrong with them. Discernment is when you take the spiritual aspect of the Word of God in your life and you apply it to somebody else's life.
Amen.
And then God allows you to pierce into their flesh because the Word of God is like a two-edged sword that divides. And what discernment actually does, don't allow you to see the bad in people, but it allows you to see the good in them. Jesus saw good in everybody. What's the guy that betrayed him? Judas. He saw good in Judas. That's why he let Judas follow him around all the years. You don't think for one minute that Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him when he first, before he even met Judas? He taught him. He expounded to him. Sat down and ate with him. Fellowship with him. Why? Because he understood that if he stood on the bread that he was teaching and that he was ministering, whatever Judas did or could do to him couldn't stop what God had already preordained or spoken to existence.
Iliandro moko sandia taba kiliandro ilobo sando koliaba sandia taba ilo ilobo. Ilobo kosanda. For under the old contract, the old covenant, it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But in the new contract, it is about love, and I'm about love. Understand who I am and who you are. You are a part of love. And if you understand that, then you will be able to understand yourself, what is in you and what I have overcome. And ye shall overcome because ye are standing in me, and I am love. I am understanding. Standing, I am the head of the body and ye are the members thereof, and I have called all that I have called into myself. I am the place, I am the residence, and I have called many, many who you know not of, but they are mine. They, I have bought their souls, I have bought who they are, and they are a part of me. Therefore love them because I love them. Be kind to them because I have shown them kindness. Be gentle unto them because I am so gentle unto them, and I the Lord your God, when I shall appear, ye shall be just like I am. Be not afraid, but beware. Follow that word. Follow who I am, and ye shall see me when I return, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah. 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 I want to see Jesus. Amen. I want to see Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I want to see Jesus.
Yeah.
When you judge yourself, and you discern yourself, you know, you're not so caught up in what other people think about you.
Yeah.
Amen.
How they feel about you.
Amen.
What they have to say about you. Because
yeah.
You done already checked yourself.
Come on.
Yeah.
And you know your shortcomings.
Amen.
You know your faults. Amen. But you also know your goods.
Amen. Amen.
And you know your God.
Amen.
Amen.
So you keep it moving.
Amen.
And you keep on pressing toward the mark. Or toward the prize.
Amen.
keep moving. But God is calling us to something today. He wants us to come forth and show forth his presence. And the only way they'll see his presence is in his character and in his nature. I'll tell you this every service, but it will cost you something. It'll cost you you.
Yeah.
It'll cost you as you know you to do what's right in the eyes or in the presence of God. There are a lot of sick folks within this body. And they're not sick physically, but they're sick spiritually. But God said, he is a deliverer, and a healer, and a way maker. I'm encouraged because he said, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. It don't matter how bad you fool up, but I want you to get it right. I want you to get it straightened out. Don't just sit down on your seat and do nothing. But work towards getting it straight now. But you know what? It'll never happen until we start to discern and test ourselves. I put myself in harm's way sometimes. I knew how people felt about me, but I went in anyway. Somebody would say, you a fool. Why? Because I refuse to let them determine my walk or where I go or what I do. It ain't gonna happen. Folks are quick to judge. Quick. You forget, I'm around all kind of people. I'm around people that they know who you are. If you sneeze out of one nostril and don't use the other one, they say, you a minister. You ain't supposed to sneeze like that. You only supposed to sneeze on the right side, not the left. I said, well, do me a favor. What's that? Move. Because this is my space. Look at all this room. Move. I called a man foolish one day. I said, man, you are one foolish man. Talking all this crazy stuff about something in the Bible. So you are just one foolish man. You just don't know. And I got ready to walk away. And somebody walked and tapped me on the shoulder and said, you're a pastor. You ain't supposed to talk like that. I go, don't listen. You have to call those things the way they are.
Yeah.
Y'all thinking he's talking about something. I'm just letting you know I don't think he's talking about nothing. That ain't had to find God. So be foolish. He just looked at me and dropped his jaw. Right. I ain't backing up. You know what God says because you done studied to show yourself approved.
Yeah.
It don't mean you judge people, but you have to see it. Sometimes you have to enlighten folks.
Yeah.
That same man came to me some 3 weeks later, Rev, and said, you know what? I see what you mean now. Good. I left it alone. Well, thank God. Keep on reading. Be amazed. But you have to know. Thank you.